Reuven Levy speaking to you from the holy yeshiva of Rav Arush in Yerushalayim, Chut Shel Chesed. Learning book, Gan HaShalom, The Guide to Shalom Bayit. We're in the chapter talking about putting our wife in first place. And the Rav is now tackling a difficult issue. What do you do when, in order to put your wife in first place, it conflicts with putting Hashem in first place? Right? We know that the wife comes above everyone and everything. But what about Hashem? Your wife says, I really need you to now help me sponge the floor, and it's time for mincha. Or your wife is dressing in a way which is not according to halacha. I can't say anything to her. I'm not allowed to criticize my mom. Right? What happens when there's a conflict? So we're on page 86 in the Hebrew version, second paragraph. The dogma. For example, if a husband needs to go to his Torah lesson, and the wife wants him to stay at home, if he's going to say to her, what are you talking about? Hashem commanded me that I need to learn Torah, and he comes before you. I'm sorry. I understand your point, but I'm sorry, you can't do that. If he does this, this is going to simply annoy and aggravate his wife, make her angry, and she's going to be against Torah. Therefore, this is not the way. Right? Rather, he should say to her, Ishti hayikara, my dear wife, at harishona etzli b'chaim, you are the most important thing for me in my life. Matwatsa, whatever, what do you want? Bavakasha, with pleasure. Masha tirtzi eselacha, whatever you want, I'm going to do for you. Miyadshe kashyama milimelu, miyada kol kavayishtanen. When he says these words, everything will change. If he says them truthfully, everything will change. He just says them because he read them in the book. Oh, now I have to tell you, no, it's really you. Yeah, whatever you say. And she said, you're darn right, whatever I say. You're going to say, right? I can even mean it. It's all from Hashem. It's all a test. Hashem is controlling all of the players, all of the participants in your life are all controlled by Hashem. If I'm acting the way I should be acting, then Hashem doesn't need to test me anymore. Well, I passed the test. But if not, and I don't, and the test continues. So what do I need to do? My test here is still to give my wife the feeling that she is number one. Because when I give my wife this good feeling, like Rabbi Akiva did, he knew how to give his wife this good feeling. Rabbi Akiva went and learned for 12 years straight, and then he came back. And the is it Midrash or Gemara? No, says that when he came back, his wife was at that moment being rebuked and criticized and made fun of by a neighbor. That her husband, your husband, oh, he's such a big Talmid Chacham, and you haven't even seen him, and he's away for 12 years. And his wife, Rivka? Rachel. Said to the neighbor, even if he wanted to go for another 12 years, I would gladly let him. So Rabbi Kim heard, oh, okay, and he turned around and went back. Right? And the Gemara asked over there, so why didn't it, I know the Gemara asked, or someone asked, why didn't he just come in and stop and say, hi, I'm going to go back for another 12 years, love you very much, see you later, have got any sandwiches for the way? And why didn't he not stop? Answer, because 12 years plus 12 years does not equal 24 years. The learning that you can do in 24 years straight is not the same as learning that you can do in two groups of 12 years. Make sense?
So like you're breaking down just by saying I would...
Yeah, would break up that period, right? It's similar to his body. People say his body. Well, why do I need to do it now? I can't. I'll do 20 minutes in the morning. I'll do 10 minutes here. I'll do half an hour later, and I'll get to my hour. And you're right. You can get to an hour that way, but you should know that half an hour plus half an hour does not equal an hour. An hour straight equals an hour. And same too with learning. If a person learns solidly for 1 hour without moving their head from the book, that's a whole different learning than 10, 15 minutes, go and get a coffee, 10, 15 minutes, come back. And Sakha Kol, I still did an hour altogether, but completely different hour. So anyway, back to our story, what we say. So, Miyad Hititen Lola Sotako. If a husband gives his wife the feeling that she is the most important thing, she's number one, then she's immediately going to release him. Because the most important thing for her is that there's no competition. The only reason she wants me to stay home right now is because she feels that I put my Torah learning above her. I put my yeshiva above her. I put my work above her. Whatever it is that we're fighting about, as soon as I give her the true feeling that she's actually number one, she doesn't need to fight anymore. She's one. Fine, right, go, enjoy. She doesn't want to stop me. The wife is not inherently cruel and she's just out to stop me. She's out to look after herself, but because that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants that I put her in first place. And if she's not feeling that, then there's a problem. She needs to call me up on that. Say, wait a minute, this is wrong. It might not come out in such eloquent terms, but that's what's going on. And therefore, if I do that, I put her in first place, I give her that feeling, and then she knows that it's much better for me to be learning Torah. If I'm learning Torah properly, meaning I'm learning Torah, I'm trying to learn Lishma, I'm not trying to do it for ulterior motives, I'm not just trying to get out of the house, I'm not just trying to avoid working, whatever, right? If I'm learning Torah properly, and I enjoy it and gives me life, that reflects on her. She knows that. She knows that this is the best thing for me. So whatever is the best thing for me, she knows. She knows, get out of here, go. Why is it not the best thing for me now? Today it's not the best thing for you to go, because today I realize that you're putting me a second, and that's not where you need to be. She's here to fix me. She's only here to fix me. That's her reason to be here. She thinks she's here to do other stuff, but that's fine, because if she thought she was only here to fix me, she wouldn't bother. She'll get out of bed in the morning. Look after yourself, right? But Hashem is using her to fix me. That's her job. That's why she feels this. That's why she feels that. That's why she needs me to put her in first place. Ki makom rishon ein pirusho shematziyut ishto yoter chashuva me'haTorah. Because we should know that the meaning of putting your wife in first place, it doesn't mean that she's more important than the Torah. She herself knows that Hashem is above everything. But ein rotzona sheba metziut hitiyeh yoter chashuva mehashem yitbarach chas v'shalom. And it's not her desire that in reality she puts herself above Hashem, chas v'shalom. Ela sheyesh la tzorech pinimi, but she has an internal need. La'agish b'yachas shel ha'bala aleha. She has an internal need to feel in relation to her husband. That she is the most important thing. For her husband, she's got that need. And certainly if her husband does give his wife this feeling, she's never going to ask him to cancel Hashem's will, to go against Hashem. Aval imhu yimared la etachayim. Imhu yimared la etachayim. V'yagid la kolas man shashen yibarach yoter chashuv mimena. However, if the husband embitters his the life of his wife and tells her constantly that Hashem is more important than her, that the Torah lefanecha, that the Torah comes first. Azai he tisnet hadat v'titrachek legamre. Then she's going to hate religion and going to want to distance herself from it completely. Right? Because she sees that the what's getting in the way of me and my husband is religion. What's getting in the way is the Torah. And that's not right. She feels that's not right. And it's not right. It's not what Hashem wants. Hashem didn't create yeshivas, didn't create the Torah in order to put a wedge between a husband and a wife. It's not why he created the yeshiva. Right? So if that's what's happening, then it's wrong. And she's going to hate religion because if that's what religion does, it's wrong. And it is wrong if that's what it does. It's not meant to be doing. It's not meant to be doing that. And you can even come to the situation where she asks him to leave Hashem. And we've seen many occasions when a husband has caused his wife to be so disgusted with religion until she says to the husband, she makes him leave it. Or shepashut he azvatakol, or simply that she just leaves it all. She walks away. Right? If this is what religion is, then I'm not interested in it. Right? And if you choose, it's either me or the yeshiva. And that's the reality, because what we're saying here, we're saying that a wife cannot live that way. A wife cannot live in second place. Not her life is to be in first place for her husband. And if she says it's me or the yeshiva, it has to be me. Right? I'm doing something wrong. I'm not putting her in first place. If I put her in first place, she'd kick me out, drive me to the yeshiva and say, stay there and don't come out until you're fixed, right? She'll take me there. Adam Sarich Laskil, Kefad Lagasher Bain Hadvalin. Right? A man needs to think carefully how to bridge these things, how to walk that narrow bridge between putting his wife first and his obligations to Torah. Ulahabot to fila, and to increase in prayer. Sheidah ketzad lidhog, that so that he will know how to behave. But often she tenli shtoy taragasha shehilif neakol, in order that he gives his wife the feeling that she is above everything, without transgressing any halakha. Right? It's not an easy job. Not an easy job. But it's a job that we've been given. That's the task we've got. Al kol panim navi kama klalim sheyazru lo lenavet et atzma. And in order to help us, Rav Arash is now going to give us a few examples, a few ideas, a few rules on how to navigate yafeh, how to navigate that situation. First one, Aleph. Yishnam devarim mabim sheefshar liot gamish behem. There are many things when a person can be flexible. V'rak ha'atzam bim shalabal hem ma'orim bo et ota kinat Hashem. And it's only the stubbornness of the husband that awaken in him this kinat Hashem, this zealousy for God, right? Dimyonot, imaginations. Shalolit patel ishto, that he's not going to cancel to his wife. Kva'am lata shezeh neged Torah, on the excuse that this is against the Torah. Right? So sometimes, if a husband is being truthful, he'll see that he's just being stubborn. Actually, there's no reason why I need to go to Minyan right now. There is another Minyan, I just don't like to go to the other Minyan. I like this Minyan, my friend's there. I chat to him in the back during Kaddish. Right? I'm going to miss out on that. Right? I want to go to this Minyan. Right? This one's really quick. I don't want to go to the other one because it takes long and they daven with Kavanah. I don't do that stuff. Right? And that there's room to be flexible, so I have to be truthful. You know, is that really necessary? Right? It's a minhag that I don't know, whatever minhag. that on Shabbos we do Tov, it's a minhag to not clean the table or whatever, and so I'm machpid on that minhag. My wife said, come on, clean it up. Like, no. There's a minhag to leave it. Come on, it might be a minhag to leave it, but there's a deraita law that you've got to keep your wife happy, right? So we shouldn't be breaking, we shouldn't be holding on to minhagin at the sake of transgressing deraita laws. Yes. Oh, sorry, Abraham, you want to say? Oh. Okay, so we can, if you can be flexible, be flexible. Don't need to be zealous for Hashem. I'm now Pinchas. Right. Tov. When it suits me. Number 2. Hashem does not test, give a person a test if he can't stand it. Right? Hashem is not trying to trip us up. Hashem loves us, he cares for us, he knows exactly what we're going through. Our pain is his pain, he feels more of it than we do. There's no test that he's going to put us through that we can't pass. Seems difficult, seems like I don't know what to do in this situation. There's an answer, there's always an answer. Al pi rov im yitbonen ha'adam. Most of the time, if a man will consider, will think about it, hu yireh sheyesh b'efshoto lemaleh ratzona shel ishto mibli la'avor alacha. Ha'alacha. Right, if a husband thinks about it, most of the time he's going to see that there is a possibility that he can actually fulfill her will without transgressing any halacha. So we can do it. Let's think about it. Okay, I understand that you want to go shopping on Shabbos. Okay, so there's got to be a way to fix this. Let's be smart. Okay, what exactly do you? Okay, fine, we'll work. Whatever it is, shopping on Shabbos. But whatever it is, we're going to have to decide. We'll find a halacha. Get a heta. If I'm looking to help, if I'm looking for that, Hashem will open the doors for me. Right? Sometimes Hashem wants me to, he wants my goodwill. My wife wants now to do something that doesn't seem useful to me, doesn't seem helpful to me. Right? My wife doesn't want to fast on Tanit Esther. Right? She holds by Tisha B'Av. And Yom Kippur, but the minor fast she doesn't hold by. I learned that everyone has to fast, right? And so we get into a heated discussion about it. No, it's not good. We've got kids. The kids are going to see that you're eating. It's not. You know, it's not just you. If it's just me and you in the house, maybe fine. I can turn a blind eye. But what are the kids are going to say? They learn in school. Everyone needs to. So what do I need to do? So if I have to be on. And you go to my rab, and I can probably get a heter for that, certainly in Breslov. The women are not mostly held to their minor.
I'm sorry, and
women in Breslov.
Other Hasidim, mostly women don't fast, no fast. No. Are you saying Breslov?
No, they don't. They don't.
Oh, okay. Because I thought in general, from what I've heard, Hasidim in general, yeah, the wives only fast on the.
I'll teach you about that. So let's do math. So if I actually really want to find a solution, it might be just that I don't know that actually there was a heter out there. I could just gone to the rav and I said, no, it's fine. Baruch Hashem, and we just saved all of our shalom. Why? Because I wanted to do that. But if I don't, I'm not going to go to the rav and try and find a heter for my wife to break the fast. Oh yeah, right. How's that going to look? There I am trying to be Mr. Rosh Hashiva, and you want me to say to my wife that my wife wants to break halacha. I'm too embarrassed to say that. It doesn't fit my, image. I've got a big beard now. Come on. Hair's getting longer. Come on. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I'm putting myself above my wife. No, if I'm truly... Hashem's putting me in a test now. If I'm truly putting my wife first, so I'm gonna accept the embarrassment, the dizayon, in my imagination that it is, to go and ask a shayla to try and sort it out. But if I do that and I cancel myself and I humble myself, Hashem is going to open up a way. You know what? Yeah, we've got an answer. It just wasn't on your radar. Hashem deliberately didn't put it on my radar because he wanted to put me in this test to see how I'm going to react with it. Number 3. Im yiten li ishto ba'otam devarim shehem adayim b'toch gedei halacha. Et hargasha shehi lifnei hakol. Hu lo yagi l'matzav shehi tisrosh mena advarim shehem neged halacha. If, advice number three, if a husband gives to his wife the feeling that she's in first place within those things which are within the halacha, then she won't ask him to do things which are outside the halacha. Because a wife that is against Torah, it's only because the husband's caused it. Because the husband's caused her to hate Torah. Because he gave her the feeling of competition, like we explained above. Right? It's only in occasions, it's only because I've put Torah above her that she now hates Torah. She's got no reason to hate Torah. Why does she care? Yeah. Most of the time, it's not stuff that she's stopping me doing. Right? If she doesn't want a bench, that's fine. I don't have to argue with that. Right? It's not a shalom bayit. She doesn't want a bench. That's the bench. So what's the shalom bayit issue? Stuff that when she wants to, when preventing me, right? She doesn't want to buy the heksher with the badats on it. Right? Why all of a sudden you want to get badats? Be rubbing up for years and everything was fine. So, and I'm now, I actually want to eat badats because I feel like that's where I'm holding. So why does she care? The only reason she cares is if I've made the Torah competition for her. Otherwise, she doesn't buy which chicken she buys. Buy the red one or buy the yellow one. Who cares? Right? The fact that she's got a problem and it is where I've been holding. It's where what I've been doing.
I just want to mention this because my wife and I know a couple where beyond the dots. I mean, he was really a wonderful guy and everything. They're both wonderful people, but he was making his wife schlep like really far. Really, really far and carry heavy bags and everything. He had this really weird chumrah. I can't remember what it was, but it was very unusual. It wasn't like nobody did it. And she was like killing herself doing it. And she finally left. She left him for a while. Baruch Hashem, they got back together. But it was like, it was this situation of just like his own chumrah. He wasn't schlepping to get it. He was in yeshiva all the time and he made her do all this. She was, and she had little kids. It was just like crazy situation.
The truth is, when a person is... Everyone has a Yetzirah according to their own level. And the person who's in yeshiva all day has a Yetzirah of a different level than the person who's on the beach all day. But it's still a Yetzirah nonetheless. It's a more holy Yetzirah, right? It comes dressed in a bigger kippah. You really need to do this, right? It's what Hashem wants, right? It's the only way to get closer to Hashem and to fulfill your tikkun in life is to eat the chicken that got blessed by the Ben Ish Chai. To that man, he was living in a world of Dimyonot, but not only because his Yetzirah overcame him. The Yetzirah that said that this was the right thing to do. It's really important. And that's why we need to have everyone needs to have a Rebbe. Right, because what's going to happen? Because the Yetzirah is going to come along dressed up in all different guises, and we don't know what's right. How do I know which is right when I have to pick a badat chicken or my wife's preference? Who knows what's right? Don't know. I don't know what's right. Maybe badat chicken is better. Maybe Hashem wants a badat chicken. How do I know? Answer: I need to ask my Rebbe. Well, I need to have someone that tells me. Someone who's been there knows more than me. Because I'm just holding at my level. I don't know what the answer is. I just got here. I just rose up from level 6 feet under to 5 foot under, right? And I don't know, here I am, I don't know what's what, and I'm trying to find my way. I need to have someone who's above me, who knows what the answer is. Can't rely on myself. For sure, if your friend had asked his Rebbe would have smacked him on the back of the head and said, don't be so stupid, right? Mm-hmm. Because he wasn't asking someone above him, he was taking upon himself. So now the Yetzirah has got an ability to run wild, because who's it fighting against? There's no one. There's no higher authority. Number four. Mishi yivatel leishto shemavakeshit mimenu yishev b'bayit. someone who cancelled himself and gave in to his, the request, acceded to the request of his wife to stay at home. She'll let him do a lot. And on this it said, "Bitula shel Torah zehu kima." The cancelling Torah is its fulfillment. What's he saying? He's saying that a husband who shows his wife that he puts her first by cancelling himself. You stay home from yeshiva for one day, she'll let you go for the rest of the month. Right? Because now you've just bought yourself that by showing her in practice, de facto, that you're more important. I'm cancelling, I'm not going, I'm staying with you. Right? Now she's got that feeling and that's going to last you. Right? So to an extent, that's the cancellation of Torah is its fulfillment. By cancelling Torah once, I then fulfilled it the rest of the time. Or you can also say that the perish of that meaning is that cancelling Torah is its fulfillment. The Torah wants me to do that right now. So my cancelling my Torah Shio, I'm actually fulfilling it, because that's what the Torah wants me to do. Hashem wants me right now to stay at home. I'm actually fulfilling it. It's much more important to fulfill Torah than actually just learn it. You can learn it all day long and not fulfill it. It's some chaim or some opposite, right? It's not necessarily good just to learn.
I just recently told someone, he told me I just came to Israel and I came to the yeshiva and I'm studying and studying and studying and studying and I'm exhausted, you know. I said, I haven't even had time to go to the Kotel. And I told him, basically, what happens here? Take a few hours off from your studying, go to the Kotel and see what kind of strength that will give you to study Torah in the future. And it's similar thing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Because there's, what do we say in, we say in davening, Maariv, it's in the last brocha, the Yetzer Hara that's behind us and in front of us.
Yeah.
Right? Now the Yetzer Hara behind us and in front of us. Right? The Yetzer Hara that's in front of us is stopping us doing what we want to do. Right? It's putting things in our way, obstacles. And what's the Yetzer Hara behind us? It's pushing us. Pushing you, do more, yeah, stay in the yeshiva an extra hour, stay another two, yeah, great. Why? Because it's gonna burn us out. We're gonna. We move the Satan, the Yitzhahara, from in front of us and from behind us. Right? There's two. There's one that's stopping us and one that's pushing. Say, yeah, go, do more. Yeah, stay an extra hour, stay for another shiur. Your wife won't mind. It's good, right? Don't go to the Kotel. Better stay here, right? We do too much. We burn out. We can't take it. We haven't got the vessels. It's not right. We've got to work up to it. Got to build up to it. Got to pray for it. We'll do all these things before we get there. We can't do too much. Flaming BT syndrome. It's not
helping.
Flaming BT. You ever heard that idea? Flaming Baal Teshuvah? Baal Teshuvah, they're out there saving the world and telling everyone that how bad and evil they are and how they should be listening to Hashem. Yofi, it's nice, but it's...
It sounds like...
They burn out very quickly.
The fire and brimstone sermons of the 1800s from the evangelical Christians in the wild, wild west.
Okay, mad deal, but the point is, it's still there. They burn out. Right? Too much too soon. Much better to go la'at, and not, when a person's like new, they shouldn't take on everything, even if it looks good. Right? It's too much. I don't have the vessels for it. It's too much light. Too much light is going to burn me out. Okay, so, Yofi. Number 5. Pemikrim yotzei dofen, yesh nitya'etz im rab mumchen. In certain uncommon cases, not often, you ought to say dofen, unusual cases, most times that you can deal with all the problems just according to what we're learning here. But sometimes you have to go and ask advice from a rab, an expert, a bayot shel shalom bayit, an expert in shalom bayit problems. which he knows how to bridge between desire and the actuality, right? Between what you want to do and what's possible. Mibli sheyif go, without anyone getting hurt. Hen shalom bayit vehen halacha, between shalom bayit and halacha. Right? Sometimes you don't know the answer. Right? Sometimes it's worthwhile going and speaking to asking someone. That's also part of my learning. That's part of my growth. Humility. Right? Everyone, part of the having a rav is humility. To ask, the more we can ask a rav, I'm guilty of it myself. I don't like asking rabbis questions. Even it's, I find it embarrassing. I've had too much of an ego. Right? But I know that it's part of my midot is humbling myself to ask what to do about the milky spoon in the meaty pot, even though I should really know that and I think I know it, but I'm just not 100% sure. But I said, ask him, go on, just call the rab. No, but I'm fair. I think. She goes, no, you don't ask. I'm like, okay. So there was this pot, and I feel embarrassed because I should know that, right? No, so Hashem wants me to embarrass myself, ke'ilu. I mean, it's all deep or not. I don't really embarrass myself. Asking a Torah question from a Torah rabbi and I'm doing a mitzvah for him and for me and for the whole world is really good. But in my imagination, I need to be less arrogant and be a lot more humble. Yes, come on.
I was arrogant once.
You were arrogant once?
I was arrogant.
Oh, Hashem.
I was arrogant a lot. But I finally had the courage. I went to Rav Arish's house and knocked at the door. And Rav Elgrat's coming out. And he says, wow, just in time, you know, I'm finished, you can go in. And later I saw Rav Elgrat at the bus station.
I'll tell you what happened.
Anyway, later I saw Rav Elgrat at the train station. He said, you have no idea how long people have to wait to see the Rav, you know, and you just went right in. I went to him because we learn that your wife has to be number one. And sometimes it's very complicated, as we had in our examples today. And we're told that one of the main things in making your wife number one is not to look at other women, it's to protect our eyes. And this was a time that I was thinking of, should I try something, should I stop praying about it and all, and I was bothered by it. I said, and I went up to the Rav, I said, Rav, you know, I have a wife whom if I started protecting my eyes, she would be offended by it. You know, if I were walking down the street or her friends came over the house and I didn't look at him and say hello and how are you and everything, she'd be offended. And then that wouldn't be making her number one.
Okay.
I said, what should I do?
Okay,
this is it. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about his answer. He says, well, you can protect your eyes when you're not with your wife, but when you're with her, look at other women. Think about it. Think about that answer.
Exactly. So that's why we need a rav. Because only he's going to be able to give you that answer.
That's a big answer.
And you need a rav with big shoulders to tell you that answer. But it's the right answer, for sure.
You also went that day, but eventually she'll be bothered by it. If she's doing it everywhere else you go, whatever you're doing.
So what's the other deeper thing is,
yeah.
the reason my wife is bothered about it is because she's not ready for it yet.
Yeah.
Why is she not ready for it yet? Because I'm not ready. Right? So what's the answer? Once I start doing it outside, I will change. And when I change, she'll change. Okay, nice. Very good. Yeah, to see the rab is not even... Basically, to see the rab is all hashkacha, it's hashkacha pratit, but it, like the rab is... Right? I wanted to see the rab about certain matter, and Rajor said, no, just go, turn up at his house, and if you get in, you get in, and if you don't, you don't. I went day after day, no, nothing. Eventually, I kind of realized that Tov, I was praying on it, and the issue went away. And Tov, it was something that I actually did need to say. I wanted to see the rabbit. It's nice. Another occasion, I've actually only ever been to see the Rav once since in my 3.5 years here, give or take. Right? How did that happen? So one morning, my wife said we were having some serious issues. Family, hashkafically, big issues going on. And she was saying to me, you need to see the Rav. You need to go and speak to the Rav about this. It's a big deal. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. So one morning over break, she said, today I think you should go and see the Rav. I'm like, okay, today I should go and see the Rav. Like, today, like, as if I can choose. Today, yes, okay, my wife, today I'll see the Rav, right? So I said to her, okay, look, I'll try. Right, this is the first time I ever tried to see the Rav, right? It's not like before I'd ever tried, but this is the first time I actually can try and see the Rav. About a year or two ago. So I said, okay, I'm going to try. And she said, so that's to share, everything will be fine. I said, okay, well, I'm going to see the Rav. So what am I going to do? So I decided that the Rav's down there. So when am I going to see the Rav? This was while I was still working. I was only in yeshiva for a couple of hours in the morning, and then I was working in the afternoon. I've only got a couple of hours. I'll have to go during the time. So I think I'll have to skip Rav Dror Shiur today. And during that time, I'll go down to see the Rav. Now, at that time, Rav Maimon was also giving a shiur at a slightly different time, a little bit later. And I was thinking, you know what? I never went to the Rav Maimon shiur because I was always coming to the Rav. I'd never been to the Rav Maimon shiur at all at that point. And it was downstairs on the floor below. So I figured, you know what? So today, I'll get half an hour going to the Rav, and I'll come back and I'll go to Rav Maimon shiur instead. Be nice as a change to see. So I thought that was my plan. So I came here in the morning, went to the coffee room to get my coffee, and I thought, you know what? I've never been to the Rav Maimon shiur. I'll just check out, see which room it's in. I knew it was in one of the rooms downstairs. I didn't even know which one. So I went to look and see which room it was in. Downstairs next to Rav Maimon shiur, right? The name where he has the door straight ahead. If you ever looked at the door straight ahead, it's an office. I don't even know who sits in there, but it's an office, right? In 3.5 years since I've been here, there's only one time ever that I've seen Rav Arish sitting in that office. It happened to be that morning. I walked to try and find the room for the Rav, for Rav Maimon. And I walked past the door, and there's Rav Arish sitting there in the office. No one in there. He's sitting there like this with a bencher doing Birchat Hamazon, doing benching. And there's no one around. Like, have you ever been in the yeshiva and not seen him, like, covered? Right? So I'm like, oh, boy. Right? So I was standing at the door, like, I was like, well, I'll wait till he finishes benching. So. And, like, hopefully no one's going to, like, he's not going to, like, leave or come in or get a phone call. Right? So anyway, so meantime, I'm standing at the door not knowing what to do. Should I come and join? Anyway, one of the other Ivrachim walked past, sees the Rav in there, just darts in there, just walks over to him and says, oh, and I was like, I'll tell him that. But remarkably, only stayed there for like 10 seconds and then left. And that gave me prison. Oh, fine. Then that's me. So I went in, Shalom Rav, do you mind? Spoke to him very nicely, left, that was it. Never again seen him there, never again there.
It's so that
when you want to see the Rav, you see the Rav. And when you think you want to see the Rav, but you don't need to, you won't see the Rav. Yes, Nehemiah.
Do you think he knew that you were going to be there?
100%. I have no doubt whatsoever. I've heard stories from other people where for sure he knew. Right? Yeah. And he knows exactly what's going on. Rav Dror says that he talks about often that. Right, we remember the story of the taxi driver, right, that you weren't here for that, Yaakov. But great story of the taxi driver that Rav Chaim Stern came to, he lives in Bnei Brak, and he came to Jerusalem for a couple of days with his wife. It's a good story, so worth telling. Right, so he came for a few days with his wife. They're here for like 2 or 3 days, and they thought they'd go and do the tour. Because he's a friend of Rav Arash, he knows Rav Arash well, he lives in Bnei Brak. So what they do, the first day they come, he went and saw Rav Arash, because, you know, go and see the Rebbe. Sat with him, very nice. Next day they decide they're going to go on a tour of people. But they have, for some reason, you know what? Let's go see Rav Arash first. So they got a cab and went and saw Rav Arash again the second day. In the morning, just before we go, and then they and then we'll go and do the Kever Rochel, the Kotel, whatever. They leave Rav Arish, and they get a taxi. And they agree with the taxi that he'll take us to Kever Rochel, and to the Kotel, and to a few other places. And they'll wait for us, he'll like, stay with us with the deck. So anyway, so they get in the cab, and they see on the dashboard that the cab driver's got a Ganem Munah. The wife of Rav Chaim Stern is sitting in the front. And she says to the cabbie, oh, I see you've got a Ganem Munah. You're familiar with Rav Arish, right? The author, you know? Oh, Rav Arish, oi, he saved my life. You don't know what he did for me. My marriage was going terribly, and I just wanted to end it all. I didn't want it, and he saved me. And Rav Arish. So the wife, being helpful, says, oh, you know, my husband's very friendly with Rav Arish. Maybe he can get you, and then you can have a meeting with him. So Chaim Stern, I don't want to, but you know, every Wednesday night he has a shiur that he gives to the public. And maybe you just, you know, you can go and see him there, you can speak to him afterwards. So he says, you know what, I know that, I would love to go to that shiur, but I can never get to it, because Wednesday night is the only night I get to see my kids, because we split up, and whatever, that's the night I see my kids, I can't see. So the rabbi then says, maybe you can call the rabbi and see, maybe you can arrange a meeting and do something special. And Rav Chaim Stern saying, no, it's a friendship, I don't want to abuse my friendship with the rabbi. Just so, but he says, you know what? He said, they're on their trip. They want to Kever Rochel. He says, look, we're at Kever Rochel now. Why don't you come in and pray for it? And if you pray for it, and if it's the right thing, Hashem wants it, it'll happen. Right? It'll happen. So kind of said, top, all cab drivers, right? He puts a keeper on, right? And goes in to Kever Rochel. And Rav Chaim Stern was told this story himself at Brit a couple of months ago now, right? He said the guy came in with him to Kever Rochel, and he was there on the Kever praying, like, bigger than any bigger Rebbe, Hashem, help me see the Rav Arish, help me, right? They come out of Kever Rochel. As they come out of Kever Rochel together, they walk towards the car. Rav Chaim Stern's phone rings, and it's number, no number. So he says to him, normally no numbers I don't answer because they're usually the bank, right? But on the off chance that this could be Rav Arish, right, I'm going to answer him, we'll see. So he picks the phone up, says yes, Sharma Rav, yes, yeah, we'd be delighted to come and see you, yes, we'll come over now, right? The Rav Korn asked to come and see him. Rav Chaim explained, I saw the Rav yesterday, I saw him the day before. We'd finished talking about everything there was to finish about. We get there, we drive up, I bring the cab driver with me. He says, basically Rav Arish ignores me, what goes over to the cab driver, throws his arms around him, brings him in, sits him down, gives him coffee, and says, all right. We have no worries. A rab knows everything, poor question.
It's good.